Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to At Home with Victoria, a news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network with your host and TV journalist, Victoria Gaither, and entertainment co-host, Michael Kay. Now, here's Victoria.
Well, can you guys believe it? I am back. A very, very good evening to all of you from myself and entertainment co-host Michael Kay here on At Home with Victoria. It is so nice to be back on my show. Michael, did you miss me?
I missed you like crazy, babe.
Well, you always know the right thing to say, so I always appreciate it when my radio husband says that he misses me. But for those of you that don't actually know where I was, I think I'll have a chance to tell you about that later. But first, Michael, you've got some new music into At Home with Victoria that you want us to listen to. Is that correct?
I certainly do. Right before we get to the lovely and beautiful Sharon Lawrence, she's actually starring in the new Lifetime movie, Starving in Suburbia, that's going to be launching on Lifetime on Saturday, the 26th at 8 p.m. We got our good friend, Jackie D. Williams, that has his new album out now called Order of Discovery. It's not actually out now. It's available now for pre-sale on iTunes, Amazon.com, and JackieDWilliams.com. But we have a second track of it. It's called Wake Me. So while we're waiting for Miss Sharon Lawrence to call in, this is Jackie D. Williams with Wake Me. Don't go away.
Messed up and I'm high. I'm afraid to shed these omens in my life. I've done too much, too little, too late. So I cave and I run, cause there's nothing left of what I'm running from. The shame I feel, the hurt I myself, but I keep falling down. I'm a vulture of my knees. I try to be the best you told me, and I cry to feel that I'm not worthy. I mind when I devastate these moments. Every time I crawl, I bleed for my mistakes, and it scars this goodbye. This is the last of me for everything that died. These demons I cannot escape. I cry away my sins, but I can't help but drown. I trust it's something I can't see. I try to be the best you told me, and I cry to feel that. Oh,
Jackie D. Williams with Wake Me. Check him out at jackiedwilliams.com once again. All his album is available for pre-sale at iTunes on iTunes.com and Amazon.com. But joining us right now, Miss Victoria, we found her, Miss the
yes.
beautiful Miss Sharon Lawrence is now calling in. Welcome to the show, Sharon. We're so excited to have you here.
Happy to be with you all.
Right
I'm calling from Southern California. Where are you? I'm sorry that I don't know that, but
no
I'm curious.
Problem. I'm actually outside of New York. Victoria's outside of Washington, D.C., so we are a bi-coastal family tonight.
East Coast. So you've got the cherry blossoms coming out. And
yes.
Apple blossoms. How nice.
Yes. No, Sharon, you were right. They're actually the cherry blossoms, and they were given to D.C., and I know this because Michael and I just talked about this on a show that I do in New Zealand from the mayor from Tokyo. So, yeah, cherry blossoms.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. It's about time. You guys deserve a break.
I know, we
do. It's been a crappy, winter here, Sharon. But before
right.
we get started talking about starving in suburbia, I found a lot of good information on you, honey. Charlotte, North Carolina, born and bred to daughter Erlyn, mm-hmm. an educational administrator and Head Start supervisor, which I did not know.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course,
mm-hmm.
Tom Lawrence, a very famous television news reporter for WRAL-TV in Raleigh, North Carolina, grew
Woo-hoo!
Up in Charlotte. And just a nice little Carolina gal. What was growing up in the Carolinas like?
Enchanted. And by that I mean the freedom to, you know, it was the 60s, the freedom to play with my friends in the dead end street in our neighborhood and access to a beautiful wooded area that had not been developed, hard to find nowadays,
mm-hmm.
That gave us the freedom to just imagine and play. The woods was our playground. And also raised in a public school system that really valued and still does the arts, band,
mm-hmm.
orchestra, choir, the drama department, all those things that I think made me somebody that was curious about the world and supported in that sense of wonder and exploration.
Wow, Vic.
Yeah, I was sitting there thinking, Sharon, when you talked about the arts and me being a television reporter and journalist for 17 years, it's always such a shame when I would have to go to a school district and do a story, and they were always talking about cutting the arts programs. I mean, kids
mm-hmm.
thrive on the arts, and I always just shake my head and think, you know, out of all the things that you guys are always talking about cutting, it drives me crazy that art programs are always the first ones to seem to go.
Well, I think there's hopefully new understanding that music in particular really helps grow young minds. The complexity of the human brain is enhanced by the exposure to the arts, and also just understanding our culture and our society and emotions. All those things really are best, I think, communicated and examined through story. So whether it's a kid learning how to play, you know, a classical piece of music and then finds that they're actually better at math because they're learning how to count it out
mm-hmm.
and that nature has its own sort of divine rhythm. And science, I think, is benefited, their understanding of science when they recognize the way things merge. You know, there's just I can riff forever about this, but I'm not saying anything people don't know.
Yeah.
I just hope that we find a way to have big corporations help fund the work
yeah.
that keeps us creative, because that's what we do here in this country is innovate, and exploration and curiosity and supporting thinking outside the box is how we'll come up with the next new ideas and hopefully next industries for our country.
Yeah, I agree. The industry, the large industry is now making billions of dollars, aka McDonald's and Amazon and stuff. I think definitely, you know, cough up some coin to keep these programs alive. But
mm-hmm.
now, Sharon, starting your acting career on Broadway in 87 with the revival of Cabaret. Vic, I just want to go ahead and point out real quick, Sharon, I downloaded some of your YouTube videos actually singing
"Using
a Slave." And girl, you got some chops for the voice, I'm telling you. Really, really great.
Thank you. You
enjoyed doing cabaret, I would assume?
Oh, I loved it. Well, Candor and Ebb, who wrote these shows, were they were who I seemed to feel most comfortable with. I did a lot of the Rodgers and Hammerstein classical stuff, but there's something about Candor and Ebb, the wryness, the humor in their lyrics, the poignancy, that for me always felt very exciting. So to have worked with them so many times, whether it was Cabaret or Zorba, which I did with Anthony Quinn, and then later on Chicago, where I starred as Velma on Broadway. These are dreams come true, to work with the people who I admired so much. I know how fortunate I am to have done that, especially early in my career when struggling and pounding the pavement was just a natural part of my evolution. I never felt like I was sacrificing any more than I was sacrificing far less than I was getting, whether, you know, it was as a waitress, which I was, or, on a dance scholarship, which I was. It all led me to working with the people that I respected and doing shows that I was really proud of.
Yeah, your show is what I'm saying on IMDb Pro. When I said hardest working woman in television, I'm not kidding. Hundreds of submissions, Resilient Isles, Drop Dead Diva, One Tree Hill, Chasing the Hill, American Dad, The Mentalist, Curb Your Enthusiasm. A great little show that didn't have a long line of viewership was Ladies' Man, and that was with Betty White and Alfred Molina. Why didn't that go further? I loved that show.
Well, thank you for loving it. I wish I could have an answer for that because it was certainly well written by a guy who, really understood comedy. And I think it was Dixie Carter played my mother again for the second time. I miss her so much. She's always been one of my favorites. And it was wonderful to see Dixie and Betty White together because they cracked each other up. That's for sure. Betty White, the legend, and Alfred playing, a guy who just is in this household full of women and not really sure how to survive it. Kaylee Cuoco played our daughter, and she's gone on to do a little thing called The Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
Alexa Vega played our youngest daughter, also gone on to do some spectacular things like Spy Kids. The talent was there. But, networks are interesting places. They have, I think, these sort of spurts of types of programming that they think that they want to do, and then they maybe decide something else is more exciting to them. What I'm excited about now is the new series that I'm doing for Amazon, which is actually determined by the Amazon viewers. They are the ones that voted and chose which of the pilots that we shot in the fall would make it to series. It's much more democratic. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. It's Chris Carter's new show, and the audiences know Chris, and the audiences want to see this a series.
Yeah. And Michael, Michael and Sharon, what I was thinking when you were just saying that. A lot of these days, because there's so many outlets when it comes to entertainment, you don't necessarily have to rely on the major networks anymore. You've got Netflix and all sorts
of
different other avenues in which shows can get out there now. I'm trying to think of what's the popular one on Netflix, Michael, with
House of Cards.
If I just said
Kevin Spacey and House of Cards. Very sophisticated stuff. And so is ours. Ours is an interesting piece that's, more like, it's strangers that are trapped in a parking garage in Los Angeles when a big, huge, mysterious event happens. So it's a little like Lost, but with the Chris Carter spin.
Yeah,
and I'm really excited about that. And the other thing that I'm thrilled about is this film that's going to be on Lifetime Saturday night. And the reason that and one of the reasons that I'm so excited about it was one of the reasons I said yes. It's a wonderful female filmmaker. I've been part of the leadership of Women in Film and a networking group helping advance women in the global media marketplace. And I always try to support female filmmakers however I can. And sometimes that means not just mentoring, but actually saying yes to being part of their cast. And this film about the underrepresented and certainly misunderstood mental illness of eating disorders. It's the facts are really shocking that more teens die from this than any of us know, because by the time they get so sick that it could kill them, we don't see them anymore. They sort of disappear, literally, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, figuratively and literally. They end up in hospitals, this story is a harrowing one, and all too frequently and familiar, I suppose, in many of your viewers' lives. And if you know somebody who is struggling with these food body issues, this movie, I think, will give you a great glimpse into the workings behind it, how it happens to very successful, strong-willed, bright young things who find this obsession and the sense of competition that media has brought to our world. These kids are encouraging each other on social media networks behind a particular type of hashtag called Thinspiration. That's where the origins of this story. And they coach each other on how to keep losing weight. And the numbers are that how they judge their sense of success. It's, you know, how low, how thin can they get? And it's a badge of courage and pride for them. So it's very complicated and becoming more and more so. And this film really examines it. It examines the possibility for reversing that mindset. Laura Slade Wiggins from Shameless does a remarkable job of embodying this struggle and the challenge and the grace that ultimately she finds in understanding herself.
She really helps take away some of the shame of it. The movie is called Starving in Suburbia. It premieres mm-hmm. on Saturday, April 26th at 8 p.m. on Lifetime Television. Sharon, you play Dr. Klein mm-hmm. and a therapist on there. I have a couple tracks here from it. As ever, you know, geez, Sharon, I've been a fan of yours for years, but the way with which you deliver and attack this is so kind and so very charming that it really has the Sharon Lawrence stamp of compassion. Mm. So I just wanted to go ahead and say that real quickly.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, you just got something lovely about you. I'm going to talk about LAPD Blue a little bit later, but here's a clip from, I believe this is when you're actually first describing what her illness is. Don't go away. This is Sharon Lawrence with Starving the Suburbia.
So she's not anorexic.
That is not the official diagnosis, no. Hannah has what's called EDNOS. That's eating disorder not otherwise specified.
Someone will have to monitor her 24/7. People with eating disorders, they often engage in other self-harm.
Sometimes I'm afraid of her. I mean, it's not like I'm not talking to Hannah. It's like someone else is there.
It's like a demon. This is a world about numbers. How small can I become? How little space can I take up? This disease is living death.
Sharon Lawrence and Starving with Suburbia. Just to say, aside here, an estimated 10 million women and 1 million men in the U.S. have eating disorders. Sharon, you've been in the film industry for years. Did you ever find yourself tempted by the compulsion to come to a media head saying lose 10 pounds or what have you? Did you ever bite that bullet?
Well, yeah. I think any of us who find the or see the image of ourselves in front of the camera have to reassess, wow, you know, is this what I look like? And the good news for me was by the time that happened to me, because as I say, I should explain, the camera puts on 10 pounds. And that's true. It does. The camera does make you look bigger. Because I was a grown woman by the time I was on camera, I was 30 years old, I don't think I was nearly as susceptible as many younger women are and men. Mm-hmm. You know, this isn't just a women's disease. Now, men, forgive me, you're going to hear my dog barking because I am
Oh, that's
home.
Okay.
That's
and
fine.
Somebody rang the doorbell, so hold on just a second. You know, my dog does not have any food issues. Cooper.
Hi, Cooper. What kind of dog is
Hi,
Cooper?
Hi, come on in.
Cooper's a lovely.
He's a golden doodle.
Yeah.
He's a perfect dog. A golden doodle. Yeah. He, like I was saying, I don't have the same issue that many of them might have because I, you know, I just was more formed by the time I faced the challenge of who am I going to be? What is this? Whose standard will determine my sense of self? And that's a big challenge when you're really young and the media is telling you what you're supposed to be like. And if you're a man, you're supposed to have six packs and all these guys that are doing steroids to pump themselves up because they're looking at magazines that have been doctored. You know, it's pervasive for anybody.
Well, I have to tell both of you, Michael, I was going to ask you to backtrack and read that statistic again. I had no idea that that many men suffer from that disease as well. I had no clue.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it takes a lot to become Channing Tatum and, you know, that whole level of star right now. I mean, it's one thing, you know, I'm thankful for radio. I've got a face for radio. I've got a body for radio. No one knows what the hell I look like. I'm really pleased with that. You know what I mean? But, yeah, being in the public eye, especially right now with social media being absolutely so critical. Granted, I'm on Facebook and Twitter and everything like that, watching what people are saying about, you know, AKA the Kardashians and stuff, which, you know, tires me. But the pressure to remain Photoshop ready, I like to say, is immense. And I think people just go ahead and succumb to it. I actually went ahead and went on the Thinspiration site, and Scott Q. Marcus is the Thinspirational speaker on there. And Sharon, I was really, really shocked because when you first click on, it looks like a very, very much of an inspirational website where he's available for talks and everything like that. He's lost 2,000 and some pounds over his whole life and stuff like that. Until you start reading some of the articles, do you find that it becomes very cultish? Do you agree?
Of course, because it is driven by achieving a standard that is not real, because the standards then become about how you look rather than what your health is. You know, that's the flaw in the thinking, is why is the number what you can brag about, the number is what you use to determine your success. And these are people that are looking to control. And, I mean, look, it's complicated. It's a very complicated disease. I would never, ever presume that just because I played a therapist that I can give you, you know, the understanding of all the reasons behind it. But it's what's important, I think, about this film is, not only does it bring to light the stat, but it shows how I think it helps us understand the mind that can be susceptible to this. And if you know someone who is struggling with it, or you can tell they are, they should know that there is hope, there's recovery. Isabella Mako, who's in the film, she's recovered herself, the beautiful gal. She went through it and has come out on the other side. So there's plenty of resource for a happy ending, you know, plenty of opportunities in this film to do more than just looky-loo, you know.
Absolutely. I've got another clip here too, Sharon. This is actually when you're talking to Laura Slade Wiggins, and it's heartbreaking. Give a listen. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Your eating disorder feels like a friend, huh? Like a strength or a way to win? I have a 26-year-old patient who'll never have kids because of her anorexia. And I have a 24-year-old patient who wears dentures thanks to her bulimia. The stomach acid, it rotted her teeth right out of her head.
You're just trying to scare me.
Absolutely, yes I am. Hannah, I've seen patients younger than you starve to death.
And you're not a very good therapist, are you?
She's just going to throw that little dig in there. Sharon Lawrence.
Right. That was actually kind of funny.
Yeah.
It
racist.
Is funny, right?
Yeah,
right. We're not talking, you know, the girls, especially this one, she's very, she may be troubled, but she's very, that doesn't mean that she is not very clever and very smart. But those two things don't always go hand in hand. You know, health comes in many ways. Did you do what you need? Okay. All right. I'm sorry, guys. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Did I?
Yeah. No problem.
Sorry, Dennis Frank.
I think we were still talking about the young lady and how she is very, very clever. But, Michael, tell everybody once again when we can actually watch this, because I know we're sort of slowly running out of time.
No problem. Starving with Suburbia goes ahead and premieres on Saturday, April 26th at 8 p.m. on Lifetime Television. Sharon, we got just a couple more seconds to go. I have to go ahead and make mention because three Emmy nominations for NYPD Blue, created by the brilliant Stephen Botchko. What was it like on that? Because both Vic and I were huge, huge fans. And
yeah.
And so thrilled coming on. But, it's a stellar cast. What was it like working on that?
It was a dream come true. I knew I wanted to work with their company because I had been such a fan of shows like L.A. Law. And what I didn't see coming was the honor that I would have of working with somebody as graceful and gifted as Dennis Franz. I mean, he was just... He's a dream. He really is. And I got to see him just a couple of weeks ago. He came to the opening night of a play that I did. And I'm very, very, very – it was great to see him. He's looking so well. He's enjoying his retirement. And he's an inspiration for all of us. If you do it right, then you get to relax.
I missed his face on television. I'm sorry. Yes. I just had to say, Sharon, I miss his face on television. I really do.
I'll tell him you said that.
Oh.
I'll tell him.
Absolutely. If you want to know more about Sharon Lawrence, go to www.sharon-lawrence.com. You're involved in a lot of charities. I'm sad I missed your play, A Song on Twilight, that just closed on the 13th. Go ahead and also check out the Amazon Studios The After. Is that available on Amazon.com?
It is. It's on iTunes. It's on Amazon.
That's
the only place you can get it, but it is there.
That makes sense. Once again, Starving in Suburbia premieres on Saturday 26th, 8 p.m. on Lifetime. Sharon, as ever, it is a huge, huge thrill to be chatting with you. I thank you so much for taking
it. I feel the same. I really like you guys. Thank you very much for
your
spending your time, you know, helping us decide how to spend ours. I really appreciate it.
And we love your doggy too. Tell your doggy bye.
Thank you. Yeah, he was helping a repairman who I just had to see if he got everything he needed, and I think he did. So that's good.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Sharon, such a delight. And please come back anytime you got stuff going on in the hopper. Okay.
I will. I'll do it.
Great.
All right,
thank you,
sweetie.
So much,
thanks, Michael. Thanks, Vicky.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You so much. We appreciate you so much. What a wonderful, wonderful person she is. Love her.
Lovely, lovely. And seriously, I've seen some of the rushes of Starving in Suburbia. It's going to be something to really take to because it's a fantastic.
You know what you have to do, Michael Kay, because I didn't get a chance to look at that particular website that you were talking about. Will you post that on your fan page and link it to my page? Because I need to go and take a look at that.
I will do that, but I will do so with a disclaimer saying, please don't spend too much time on here because actually when you start digging, it gets a little bit, it gets creepy and cultish. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. But absolutely. Vic, happy to have you back. We missed you tons in New Zealand there, but I hear you are a great entity in New Zealand, all the pictures and everything. And you're missing your Himitangi people, I tell you.
I know. Himitangi Beach was absolutely wonderful. In fact, Stu Frith is listening right now. In New Zealand. So hi, Stu. And actually what I would like to do is get Stu on our show so he can kind of give you all the dirt and talk about the trip and what it was like there, and also so the three of us can sort of have a powwow. So I'll get with his schedule, Michael, and we'll get with yours, and we'll make that happen because I can't cram everything in because we're actually supposed to be off the air right now. So I promise you guys, we'll put another show in and just do New Zealand so we can kind of talk about some stuff and play some music and have some fun. Will that work for you?
Sounds great. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight, especially Ashley Emmerich and guest 3629 up in chat. But for Homeless Victoria, I'm entertainment co-host Michael Kay. Thanks for listening tonight. And Victoria, good night, love. Have a good day.
Good night. Sleepy, sleepy.
You've been listening to At Home with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelley Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.